to the second Bilingual Bicultural Education Conference statewide, designed and sponsored by the Alaska State Department of Education. We are here to have a good time, to rejoice in the diversity of our cultures and the unity of our purpose, to greet old friends and make new ones, to talk seriously about the issues that confront us as practitioners and policymakers in bilingual bicultural education, to use this opportunity to question our leaders about where we have been, where we are at the moment, and where to go in the future, and also to determine how far their commitment to our interests will take us. We are here also in support of one of the great educational enterprises of all time, unique, I think, in the history of the whole world. That is the deliberate pursuit of ways to provide equal educational opportunities for children of all the cultures and languages in our midst. It is a task both difficult and demanding, and I am happy to let this conference begin by introducing to you Dr. Marshall Lind, the Commissioner of Education for the State of Alaska.
Thank you, Gary. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to have the opportunity to meet with you again, second year in a row, regarding the bilingual conference. I would like to introduce three very important people to me and three very important people to all of us concerned with education, three members of the State Board of Education that are in attendance this morning. First is the chairman of the State Board, Mrs. Catherine Hurley. Also, Mrs. Thelma Langdon, and our newest member, Mr. Malcolm Roberts Mankrey. Pleasure that, for me to be able to introduce them to you. I think as I talk about some of the things that these people must deal with in the course of their activities as State Board members, you can understand my appreciation for them. Also, it might be interesting to note that I work for them. They are my bosses, so I need to make sure that they're introduced. We have, I think, the most exciting state as far as education is concerned of any of the states. Those of you that have heard me speak before have probably heard me mention this. And I'm very proud to be a part of an educational system I consider to be responsive. That's the most important thing, responsive to the needs of youngsters and people within the state. At the same time, I recognize that we have many problems to overcome, but those don't bother me. They would bother me if people weren't interested and we were all apathetic about it. Nobody seemed to care. I don't worry about the problems because I think we can overcome them with the kind of support and interest that I see around this state, regardless of what the issue is, whether it's a bilingual question or a governance question or a finance question. That's the very exciting part to me. Last year, we had the first bilingual conference. From that conference came a number of recommendations. A number of those recommendations have been followed very carefully and have been completed or are in the stage of completion. We hope that a number of recommendations will come forth from this conference. Those recommendations were not bound neatly in a book and placed on a shelf and forgotten. If you haven't seen the annual report from last year's conference, I'd suggest that you take a look at it and see just how how we'll have people in the state move to complete and work toward those particular objectives that were set up. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to spend the entire afternoon with the Advisory Council Task Force to the State Board of Education in the whole area of bilingual bicultural education. We recognize that that group was constituted specifically for several purposes. We recognize that the mission is about finished, at least for those things we asked them to do. We feel that it is time now to consider what should be the new directions and what should be the makeup of that particular advisory group to the State Board of Education. I don't have the answer as to how it should be put together or who should be on it, but we feel that the membership in this particular room would have good suggestions as to what that advisory group should do, what kind of membership it should have, and I'm asking you to be thinking about it. We would like to have your recommendations at the end of this conference. It was interesting to me to sit and listen to the deliberations of that particular group, and I want to assure you that even though it is very, very much the case, or very often the case, with those of us in state government are removed from the actual situation at the teaching learning level, we try to stay in touch with what is going on and to appreciate and to understand some of your questions, those of you that are actually delivering that important service to the learner. Yesterday was an opportunity for me to hear some of the immediate concerns other than just money and law. Money and law, of course, are very important, but by themselves they will not do what needs to be done. I've also had the opportunity during my experience in Alaska to work in a number of communities where a bilingual situation was very much an issue, Lower Kuskokwim and Lower Yukon. So I feel that some understanding, some appreciation for what your people are trying to do, and I want to indicate my support and the support of the State Department in their efforts to provide equal educational opportunities for all the youngsters of this state. I think that one of the facts that DeVale has in the characteristics of a bilingual effort in the state, that we have had a lot of different actors in the business. And we have had one group doing one thing, another group doing something else, and one of our main concerns last year was attempt to bring this together in some kind of coordinated effort. But I also want to make it very clear that our efforts to coordinate what is going on in no way is to be interpreted as the state attempting to run programs at the local district level. I think there is some concern that heavy Department of Education involvement also means that the department is going to run things for people. And with this reorganization of the schools in the unorganized area, questions come up. Will there be somebody from the Department of Education coming out to run our bilingual or bicultural program? The answer is no. We will not be running it. Our function is to attempt to provide whatever assistance we can to enable you to run as you see fit. The second part of that gets into the whole matter of solving all of the educational problems that we have, regardless whether it's an urban or rural setting. Will the department solve all of our problems? The answer again is no. We will work with the people in the school districts and around the state in mutually trying to resolve the problems. There are some things that we can do at the administrative level, but certainly the problem resolution will have to be a joint effort. That's hopefully what we can do. I think yesterday was probably one of the more significant days in this state as far as people living in the unorganized boroughs. For the first time, people in the unorganized borough had the opportunity to vote for school board members within their regions. That's nothing new to some that have been in cities and boroughs for many years, but this has been accepted for a long time. But in the rural areas, this is a first. And I think that it is that particular effort is an indication of what I was referring to earlier about the interest and the commitment to provide a good educational system in the state. What I have seen as I've traveled around Alaska, particularly in the past year, the last 6 months, with this whole effort taking place, is just really, really impressive. Last week, for example, we had 30 people volunteer their time, about 25 or 30 of them, volunteer their time for a one-week session where we went through a number of different things that will be useful to the new boards. These people will make up a cadre of trainers, helpers to the new boards, to the new school district, or any school district in the state, if they want the help. They'll be there to go out, and they're made up, these teams are made up of people from Alaska that are now existing school board members or administrators or others outside of the educational business that are familiar with some of our needs in the state. They're available to help. When you get that kind of a commitment, dealing with the area of school governance, I'm sure that we can get that kind of a commitment to make our programs stronger, and all we really have to do is ask people. And I think that's one of the functions that the department should perform, not for us to have a whole bureaucracy of so-called experts to go out and work with the district, but to get the talent that we have within this state to help. What are a couple of the things that characterize bilingual and bicultural education? Well, I mentioned one of them. Before everybody doing something else, and many times the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. Hopefully, this kind of an effort can be coordinated and that we can be moving along some common objectives, some common goal. I think that the money question has always been an issue. But I think sometimes the money issue is blown out of proportion, and that a lot of good things can happen in this area without the necessity for huge appropriations. There is a certain limitation, of course, on how much money that the federal government and the state government will provide for us. As educators, of course, we're always asking for more than what we get. But it isn't always just a money matter. And I think that when we have been able to show to the legislature, particularly, that there is an educational need, if somebody is being denied an equal opportunity, that they have been responsive in providing the dollars to enable us to do the job. But sometimes, as educators, we haven't always made our requests as crystal clear as we should. And we're asking for things that really are not very well defined. I think also that bilingual and bicultural programs tend to get into a political arena, and sometimes the true purpose of the program is overshadowed by the politics involved. And I think that we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that business. And as a result, sometimes they become very emotional. In trying to look at what our role should be, and I've touched on a couple of things, but particularly for the state board, charged with the overall responsibility of education in the state, elementary and secondary students. We do not deal in the area of post-secondary or university, but we work closely with them. I think we've got a number of things that we must look at. I think that the state, and again, I want you, during the course of this conference, to point out those things that you think we should be doing. These are a few of the thoughts that we have. I think the state has a responsibility to communicate with educators and other groups the importance of bilingual, bicultural programs, and also to be able to point out some of the factors that may not be strictly academic that play a part in how successful youngsters learn and how successful they'll be after they get out of school. The impact and the influence of the culture and the economic background and the family. I think we've got a job to do to point some of these matters out. I think the state also has the responsibility to continually seek various alternatives, various learning alternatives, alternative programs for youngsters that can assure that we can provide some kind of equity and equality in the programs that we have. so that the resources, total resources in the state, can be distributed as equitably as possible. We have certain areas where our teachers may be very good, other areas maybe not so good. Maybe not just the teachers, but other aspects of the learning environment. I think we've got to figure out ways at the state level to make the best available to all the youngsters. I think that we've got to continually use the example and point to specifics when it comes to involving a number of other people in the decision-making process, involving parents and other representatives at the state level in helping us deal with some of the problems that we have. We do not operate in a closed group or in an executive session. We do not feel that we as educators in the State Department or just as state board members that we have all the answers. And we welcome and encourage and will continually seek out different advisory groups to us, working with a variety of people to help come up with a better program. I think that we have a responsibility to work with the universities in the whole matter of teacher preparation and teacher in service. And this gets into a very real question that a number of you have, and that is, are we at the present time making any sense out of this whole business of teacher certification? And how do we wrestle with the matter of non-certificated staff members, paraprofessional, or people that have some type of recognized expertise? How are we enabling those people to make their contribution in the classroom? We're trying to figure out how to best handle that at the present time. It's tough. If certification indeed means that this is some kind of a guarantee to the people of the state, particularly the students, which is a captive audience in a sense because the law says they've got to be in school between certain ages, and we must protect, we must provide that there's some assurance that the people that are influencing their lives have some degree of competence with some professional training. Hopefully the certificate represents that. But in some cases we wonder if it does what we hope it is doing. We need your suggestions, we need your help. It isn't just a matter of the certification of bilingual teachers, it's a certification question, period. We're trying to come up with some answers to that. I think that you will have the opportunity to review the regulations that the task force put together over the past year. I think you will find those regulations very interesting and very well done. They speak to the eligibility of school districts for state funds for running programs. They also explain what will go into a program that will be approved by the state. Now, the state board has made it very clear to me and to our people in the department that when we come forth with regulations, please do not come forth with something that has so much red tape and paper shuffling that nothing ever happens in the way of a program. We're working on that. We still impose an awful lot of additional paperwork on school districts. Some of them become discouraged looking at that process and say, what's the use? One of the things that we're very guilty of is telling the federal government, don't require all that stuff. We deal with the federal. But we in turn are guilty many times of turning around to the local district and say, hey, go through all these paper exercises before we give you money. Now, as you go through these regulations, please keep that in mind. And those areas that don't seem to make much sense, please point those out. We want to keep the process as simple as we can to get the job done. At the same time, we are not about to give money that isn't going to do something for kids. We've got a responsibility to make sure that the money that is appropriate is used well. There are a few criteria, I think, that we can build in, but we do not want to have the process so cumbersome that nobody can live with it. I think yesterday, pointed out a couple of factors to me that certainly your agenda speaks to. We got talking about the fact, should there be, in accordance with some legislation that was passed last year, a native language center, a bilingual center? And if so, what should be the function of that center? And when we began to talk about the function of the center, we began to talk in terms of material preparation, began to talk in terms of training, and is this training at the pre-service level, the in-service level, training for classroom teachers, administrators, board members, and in what languages, what kind of format, and on and on and on. And soon we had a very large array of different issues that must be addressed. Now, the task appears to be overwhelming, but I think that as we talk about this further, and as you think about it during this conference, I think you need to keep in mind which agencies in this state are probably best prepared to deal with certain aspects. And I think much of what we were talking about rightly belongs with the University of Austin. I think there are other aspects of this whole business that rest with the Department of Education and also with the local school district. How we sift all this out, I don't know. We don't have an answer to it. But I know the legislature is interested in this area and will soon be asking some questions about how do we think it should be put together. And we're not prepared to say until we know better what you people think that are actually living with this, dealing with these problems on a day-by-day basis. People I feel know much more about it, certainly than I do. I hope that we can look at the conference, this conference, last year is the beginning, an annual event. I think that any kind of conference in this state, where we're spread out all over, can have tremendous value in the fact that we can get together and talk. It's impossible for us to frequently get with one another to visit about a common problem, or for you to share your concerns with your colleagues. And I think that is one of the very beneficial things of a meeting of this type. I think also that the agenda is well laid out and that you can make a contribution and you can also come away with some things that you can put into practice as you return to your particular community. And I would like to indicate my support for the continuation of the conference, hopefully to make this an annual activity. I could go on and mention a number of different things that we're certainly wrestling with at the state level. We're trying to figure out now what's the best way to make sure that programs are adequately supported from a financial standpoint. What's the best formula to use to guarantee that dollars will be available? And that gets into a long discussion. Should it be on a foundation support basis, which is the way we fund the general aspects of our school, or should we attempt to set it aside on a project basis, on a competitive application process? How far will we go with the eligibility as far as state funds are concerned? Are we going to deal only with the monolingual, non-English speaking youngsters? Or are we going to be able to give support the state level into areas where language restoration, preservation, this sort of area. These are tough questions. Some of this is addressed in the regulations. Again, we're going to need your assistance. I think also we must be prepared to suggest ways to evaluate whether or not our efforts in bilingual, bicultural education are making a difference. Whole matter of evaluation. How should we attempt to evaluate these programs? I think that there are many people around that say if you do not see a significant difference in the Iowa test of basic skills, as far as language development is concerned, or some other aspect, then maybe the program shouldn't be continued. Well, I don't personally agree with that. I think this is the approach that some people look at. very hard factual data. I think there's much more to what we're dealing with here than significant differences in standardized achievement test scores. Maybe they have a role to play in this one part of evaluating our programs, but I certainly would hate to hang our hat on that alone. So evaluation is very important. And I think in closing, I just want to say that we have tried to set up within the department several different ways of dealing with school districts and with educational matters. As I indicated earlier, we attempt to be responsive to the concerns of people. We welcome your comments and your criticism. And I want to encourage you, when you ask somebody from the state governments, particularly from our department, about a question, and if you don't get an answer, please keep asking. And you have 7 members around the state that make up the membership of the State Board of Education. And please let those people know what your concerns are. And we in turn can, I think, have influence with governor's office, with the legislature, with the federal government. We can jointly work together to resolve problems. And I think that's what education is all about. And I said it over and over again, education is not just a matter for the educators. We need the help of a lot of people. And I feel in this state that we can count on a lot of people to help us. And I just want to say that it's really exciting, again, to look at all the possibilities that we have in this state. The resources, the human resources that we have in Alaska are fantastic. Need is groups of people, the cross-section, the enthusiasm for getting something done. And it's great to be a part of this system. And I think by working together, we're going to always be able to enjoy the spot that I think we have around the country right now as having one of the best systems in the state. With that, I want to thank you for your attendance here. I'm looking forward to talking with you the rest of today. If you have any questions or comments that you want to ask to me, please single me out, and I'd be happy to try to answer them. Again, I want to thank you. I'd also like to introduce to you Mrs. Sylvia Carlson, the Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Education for Minority Affairs. Sylvia is one of a great number of people, but one who had prime responsibility for organizing the conference last year, and she has a word of greeting for you.
I'd like to tell you a little story that I heard that I think regards of gathering of people like this, it was about last summer up on the Pipeline Hall Road.